You see, when something makes me indignant, often it's because something is resident within me that flared up, that was already in me. Well, why is that guy buying such a nice car? He should have given that money to the poor. But really, the issue is not there. The issue is right here. I wish I could have a car like that, but I can't. So because I can't, you shouldn't either. You see, it's really my own greed.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, the conclusion of a message on the life of Judas Iscariot, a guy who you really don't want to copy, but you can learn a lot from his life nonetheless. From the series Indispensable Life Lessons, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled A Lesson from Judas Iscariot.
And there's people in our lives that need to be like a lightning rod, where I'm just kind of upset about something and I just want to strike. And if I just start, you know what we do most of the time? We just start telling people. We just vomit on everybody. We just vomit on everybody. And finally, when we feel better, okay, I'm better. Everybody else stinks. And they're all ruined. But if I would have a lightning rod, I would go to this one person and I say, you know, I'm really upset about this thing and I just need to process it. What do you think? And I start laying this thing and he just grounds it. I understand. I understand. And what happens is he neutralizes my anger so I don't fry a bunch of people. You see, in this group here of the 12, that stuff was processed. 11 survived it pretty well. Almost messed up because even when Jesus was betrayed and taken to court, all of them left. They all betrayed him. They all came back except one. He was fried. You see, there's people that'll be a lightning rod in your life that will say, Wayne, take it easy. And they'll turn you back towards the cross. You got to understand. Well, I don't think, you know, well, wait a minute. First of all, Wayne, don't you think more thought went into that decision to purchase that thing or whatever it might be? More thought went into that decision to come up with their conclusion than the thought that went into you coming up with your conclusion about them? Don't you think they put in weeks, maybe months of thought to come up with that? And you probably took 3 seconds to come up with your conclusion. Let's understand it a little bit more. And that lightning rod will say, help me to say, oh, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. And I don't fry people with my upset emotional baggage. Let's read the scripture right under it, and I think you'll see. It's out of James 5:19. Ready? Go. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back from the error of his way, will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. You see, the Lord is saying we all need a lightning rod. Because it's so easy when you just kind of hang around with pessimistic people. Isn't it true that everybody gets pessimistic? It's contagious. If you start grumbling about one thing, pretty soon everybody's grumbling. You have to be careful. I was just a few months ago, I went to Denver, and there the Dodgers was playing the Colorado Rockies. And they were playing at the Coors Stadium. And one of the pitchers, a left-handed pitcher for the Dodgers, is one of the people from New Hope Hilo. And so he was pitching, so I went to go see him. Well, as chance would have it, I took my ticket, and as I sat down, I was in the midst of about 20,000 Rockies fans. And as I sat down, I was in this sea of purple, that's their color, and they were just cheering for the wrong team. And so when they would have a good hit, crack, oh man, they go, yes, no, yes, no. Well, after a while, I started talking and exchanging conversation with these ebullient, enthusiastic fans for the Rockies, and I started to catch their enthusiasm. And so when the Rockies would hit a good hit, bang, yay, they'd all stand up, yay, and I, ooh, yeah, that was a pretty good hit, yeah, that was good. It was about the fourth inning. When this thing started to get so contagious, I switched teams. I became a Rockies fan. It's amazing how contagious it is, isn't it? And Judas would say, listen, pessimism and criticism is very contagious. And you need a lightning rod so that person can ground your emotional baggage before it fries not only you but others. And it's really important to have that, because you see what happens is when you start sharing, as I said, it becomes contagious. Now, listen very carefully. You don't want someone who is to be your lightning rod. You don't want that person to be a yes person. You don't want that person to need to feel accepted by you to the point where every time you say something, they shoulder that same offense that you have. In fact, one of the most dangerous things you can do is shoulder another's offense. When someone says, you know what he said? What? He said I was ugly. You're kidding. Well, I hate him too. Now there's two of us. We hate him together. Yeah. Now, when you shoulder another's offense, it's so dangerous. Reason? Here it is. If this person is offended or wounded, God's grace is sufficient to help this person to survive it and become better, not bitter. God's grace is precious. And God's grace will always be ready to be inputted and deposited into your life when you're wounded or you're offended. However, if I come along and take that offense and wound myself with it and carry this offense, I wasn't the one that was offended. I'm just shouldering your offense. He has grace because he was offended. God will give him grace to make it through the woundedness and survive it. But I wasn't wounded. I wasn't offended. I just shoulder that offense. There's no grace. When there's no grace and you're carrying an offense, it is hideous. It's like gangrene. And that's why the Bible says gossip is so insidious. It's like gangrene, because I give my offense to all of these people who shoulder it, and now there's no grace for them. And it just spreads like gangrene through the body of Christ. You understand? And so a lightning rod needs to be someone that says, talk to me, tell me about it. Now, you've got to make sure that this person is not just a yes person, but this person will help you walk this out to the throne, will help you process it before the cross. My suggestion is for a husband, for me anyway, my wife, as much as I love her and she's my best friend, she is not my lightning rod. She's too close to me. And when I share something that something's going on or someone said, it just ruins her. And so I want to protect her. I don't want to vomit on her. So I want to protect her. The one I vomit on, Dan Shima, he's the one. He's one of my lightning rods. So don't go around him because he smells bad. But I would suggest brother, another brother, sister, another sister. Sometimes I can be Anna's lightning rod. And that may be okay, but she's not mine. She's made different than I am. And I am the head of the home. I need to protect her. And so what I do is I work it out with Anna. And then I share with her from the victory side what God has done in my life, not from the defeated side until it's resolved. But find someone like that. And make sure that person understands what it means to be a lightning rod. That lightning rod would say, hey, listen, before you go off the deep end, Wayne, be known. Be known not for someone who's quick to the draw or someone quick to come to conclusions. Wayne, be known, would you write in your notes, number two, as a person of understanding. Be known for your understanding, not for your quick draw, not for your fast conclusions, but for your understanding. Let's read the scriptures and you'll see what I mean. Ready? Go. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. And here's the next one, Proverbs 18. Let's go. He who gives an answer before he hears or fully understands, it is folly and shame to him. And listen to the advice of James. Ready? Go. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You know what God is saying? Wayne, it doesn't matter how angry you get. Your anger will never, ever in a lifetime achieve the righteousness of God. It will not accomplish the righteousness of God. So don't let your anger be that which motivates you. Be careful, because the anger of man will not achieve the righteousness of God. Well, you say, okay, Wayne, what if there is indeed a problem? Something that you can't resolve, something you don't agree with. Maybe that leaders are doing or whatever. And until I resolve it, there's a static state that I'm in, waiting for that person to resolve it, wondering if they will. I'm in this state here. I can either get bitter, I can start talking, I can start a jihad. What's happening during the state? Let me tell you, during the state, God is going to test your heart. In fact, there's going to be three tests of the heart that happens during this time. Number one, it's a test of integrity that'll take place. A test of integrity. And let me define what integrity is. And this is a tough one for all of us and for me. I don't exclude myself from this. Here it is. The test of the integrity of heart is this. Integrity is protecting the reputation of those not present in order to gain the trust of those who are. Protecting the reputation of those not present. Say someone does something I disagree with. Well, he's not present. Do I just ruin his reputation with others? Because that's the result of a jihad, see, the murdering of, the cutting off of reputation, emotional relationship. But integrity says, no, hold on. No, it is not for me to ruin that person's reputation. No, it's not right until I fully understand, because the Bible says he who gives a conclusion or an answer before he fully understands something, it's shame and folly to him. No, hold on, everybody. No, we don't have enough information. Let's do some more research and do some. I have not called him, questioned him, asked him how I can help, be a part of it, nothing. So for me to come to a conclusion about his reputation and his heart and his spirit and his motives is just wrong. Well, those in your presence will go, wow, that's cool. You see, if I protect the reputation of one that's not present, I will gain the trust of those who are. On the other hand, if I slaughter that guy's reputation, you know what he did? That guy's an idiot. You know, his heart is so bad. I don't know what he's doing here. He should probably be in hell right now. That would be the best thing for him. And then the people listening think, whoa, if he can slaughter that guy who's not present, what will he do to me if I cross him? But if I protect the person's reputation, because I understand what the scripture says about jihads, then I'll gain the trust of those who are. It's a test of integrity that all of us will be faced with and we'll all go through, guarantee. The second thing that's a test of the heart, number two, is we've got to be willing to, and this is another hard one, willing to recognize buried personal issues. Buried personal issues. You see, when something makes me indignant, often it's because something is resident within me that flared up, that was already in me. Oh, well, why is that guy buying such a nice car? He should have given that money to the poor. But really, the issue is not there. The issue is right here. I wish I could have a car like that, but I can't. So because I can't, you shouldn't either. How's that? You see, it's really my own greed. It happened some years ago when I was at a retirement party for a pastor that was retiring in the district that we were in. He had been in ministry for 40 years or so. Well, to honor this one, they had taken up an offering from all of the pastors and churches, and they were going to present to him a parting gift. And they announced the amount. And so I was sitting there, I was just a young buck in ministry, and they said, and we're going to give so-and-so the gift of $60,000. And everybody said, yay! And I found myself clapping too, yay! But on the inside, I think, $60,000? Good night, this guy already has a house and car. What does he need $60,000 for? We could have taken that money. You know how much ministry I could do with that? I'm not even making that. Like in 3 years, I don't even make that. Oh, yay. Good night. How unspiritual this is. When the applause died down, I could hear the Lord call. Hey, Iscariot. Huh? And I realized that what had happened was it just surfaced agreed in me. That's why I was indignant. It wasn't spiritual. Yeah, let's use that money for ministry. Get real. I just wanted it myself. You see, a lot of times when I'm indignant about why are they spending this or why, it's because it's surfacing something in me. Surfacing something that's unhealthy. And a lot of times God is saying, Wayne, are you willing for me to allow this to be used to surface something that you have not yet dealt with and it's time you do? But you see, it's easy to talk about them over there and completely miss the real problem. It's right in the coronary territory of my chest. It's right in my own heart. Let's read about it. The Lord will tell us this in the scriptures out of John. And this is Judas speaking. Let's read this. Ready? Go. Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Ah, that's it, grasshopper. Now I understand. You see, he was saying, hey, let's sell that perfume and give me the money in the money box. I'll hold it so we can give it to the poor, and on the way I'll take my stash. You see, it was his own greed that caused the indignance to flare up. Isn't that true? Sometimes the problem is not the problem. The problem is here, that God is using that problem to surface something here that we have not dealt with in years and have refused to deal with, and it's time we do. But if we don't, can you see how you'll hit a lid and a ceiling in your growth with the Lord, and you'll never get beyond that because we're too quick to be indignant with everybody else? You see, a lot of times the problem is right here. Right here. It's not the other person, it's me. And sometimes it's the hardest to see you. It's easy to see others. Your problem is tough to see. Kind of like people with, you know, bad BO. You know, they can't smell it, but everybody else can. They're dying like flies around them. But they can't smell their own. I mean, I saw this thing, and it talks about the contrast between me and others. It's sort of like, you know, if I do it, it's okay. If you do it, it's wrong. It's that spirit. Listen to this. He's a perfectionist and so picky. Me, I'm accurate and I give attention to detail. He's stuck up and hangs around in cliques. Me, I'm distinguished and I choose my friends wisely. You're slow at getting things done. I'm accurate. You take forever. I'm methodical. You copy everybody, but I learn from the best. She is messy and sloppy. I'm spontaneous and carefree. He is fat. I am healthy. He has strange habits, but I am unique. He has poor hygiene. I am natural and earthy. You see, often it's easy to see something bad out there, but maybe the problem is here, because self-righteousness is invisible and very toxic. But I think the greatest test of the heart for me, oh yes, it is in integrity, also about personal issues, but I think one of the most revealing was once when I was having trouble with a superior, and the Lord asked me this question. He said, Wayne, are you a rebel or a reformer? Would you write that in as your third test? Are you a rebel or a reformer? Let me tell you the difference. A rebel is someone who sees a problem, and instead of resolving it, a rebel uses that problem as ammunition, as justification as to why I can talk and sabotage those people. A reformer sees a problem and moves in to see how we can resolve it. You see, a rebel is a problem finder. A reformer is a problem solver. A rebel is not happy even when the problem is resolved. Well, we resolved that problem. Oh, yeah, but there's other problems in this church you don't even know about. Okay, well, we'll resolve that one. Oh, I mean, there's problems everywhere in this church. You see, a rebel is never satisfied when it's resolved. There's always more. because that's his identity. A reformer is very happy when something is resolved and he's satisfied. We need reformers. Rebels will break the fabric into a million pieces. What do you want to be? The Lord said to me. I said, Lord, help me to be a reformer, because there are problems that need to be resolved. And the Lord showed me that about Daniel. He said, that's why Daniel was chosen. He had a different spirit. He had a reformer spirit rather than a rebel spirit. And when he found problems, he solved them. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. This was because an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel. So when he found a difficult problem, what does the Bible say he did with it? Yeah, he solved it. He solved it. You see, he was a reformer. But I think the final lesson that's an indispensable life lesson from Judas, he would say this. You know, there's a lot of roles to play in the kingdom of God. There's room for everybody, but here's the final. You get to choose what role you're going to play in the kingdom of God. It's really critical. Let's read the scripture right under this last point. Ready? Go. For the Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. You know what he's saying is this. It's written that Jesus is going to be betrayed. It's written that he is going to go to the cross. That's the plan of God from the beginning of time. It's written that there are going to be people that betray him. Some will follow him. Some will run from him. Some will support him. Some will take care of his body. Some will run from his body. Some will believe. Some will not. Some will be people that will insidiously slander and plot his death. Others will pray. Oh, by the way, which of those roles do you want to play? Because it's written that those things will happen. It's written that he's going to go to the cross. But oh, woe to him who chooses the part, the one through whom he will be betrayed. Choose. You see, you can choose. If you choose to be a great part of the kingdom of God, you will be great. If you choose to be a neutral part of the kingdom, you will be neutral. If you choose to be a spectator part of the kingdom, that's what you'll be. If you choose to be someone that just walks through life kicking stone, I hate this church, I hate God, I hate this stuff. It's so hard to be a Christian. So hard. That's what it's going to be. As is thy faith, so shall it be unto you. What part, what role do you want to play? Judas would say to you, choose the best roles. No audition required. Just make a choice. And if you choose to be a great part of the kingdom, then you will be great. And if you make that choice, the Lord says, okay, good. Now let me help you be developed so that you'll play that role, so that you'll be that person, but you choose whatever part you have to play. And I'm so glad that we can choose. And if you choose to be a great part of the kingdom, you will be great. What an indispensable life lesson that every single one of us need to learn. That Judas Iscariot would again remind us. Listen, he'd say, listen carefully. Man, make sure you find a lightning rod. And make sure that your heart is open to be tested. Because it will be. And remember, choose to be a reformer, not a rebel. Remember now, there's going to be personal issues that'll be surfaced. Deal with them. Because a lot of times the problem's not out there, it's here. And be a person of integrity. Choose the best roles in the kingdom. When you do, watch what God will do in your life and through your life. And you'll grow and you'll become someone great because you chose to be. It's that simple.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Lesson from Judas Iscariot by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. You know, there are two kinds of individuals that we can learn from. First, there's the positive role model whose life we want to imitate. And then there's the negative one whose pitfalls we want to learn to avoid. Both can teach us invaluable lessons. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Thank you for listening, and please tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.